Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
I think what we should talk about now is kind of like what we've learned from our selective books, you know, throughout these discussions. It's kind of hard because there's been so much that we've talked about. It's almost overwhelming to think, how do you recap that?
Right. Want to start with Gone with the Wind?
I think we have to address that first, knock it on the head, get it out of the way, because we did spend so much time with this book, mostly because it has the most problematic content. Right. Looking at older classics almost always yields uncomfortable reactions to problematic dialogue, characters, behaviors, etc. Predictably, we had the most trouble with Gone with the Wind. It depicts slavery, racial issues, war, violence, domestic abuse, patriarchal and misogynistic issues. I mean, the list of problematic content in Gone with the Wind is overwhelming, you know. I feel like we managed to address most of those issues pretty thoroughly. I think for both of us, we came to the conclusion that the violence and abuse, and that includes whether it's about women or about racial issues, all of that is uber cringy by today's standards. But we also kind of came to the critical analysis that in the context of the time period, it is, if not understandable or acceptable, it is definitely part of the storytelling of a fictional novel set in a real time period, right, among real historical facts. And so, you know, we know there are a lot of other books written more recently, some written even before Gone with the Wind, that also depict racist violence, domestic violence, and abuse even more explicitly, like, you know, The Color Purple, To Kill a Mockingbird. I mean, my gosh, the list goes on and on, and not just American books, all kinds of books. So I feel like we dealt with some of those issues in a good way, trying always to come back to that context of the time period it was written and the time period it portrays. And I'm so grateful that you established at the beginning of this when the book was published, because that's you know, not the same time period that it was, that the story is set in. And so that was something I think that we really delved deeply into, a lot of problematic content, and how do we find value in something like that today? And I think one of the greatest things we did that we haven't had a chance to talk to the public about yet is to come up with, like, we came away with a list of what we like about the book and what we don't like about it. And so go over our list for us. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember putting together some of these points very early on as like a concession, like, well, Alice, I think I'm going to hate this book. And then I was giving you like a progress report as I got further and further along. I'm like, well, I guess I kind of like this part.
And I changed some of my stuff too in the list. I was like, originally, like, oh, I love this. And then maybe I don't love that quite so much, you know? So, yeah.
Things that struck me, because I read the book in sixth grade and hated it, and I think I just didn't have the maturity to understand that piece of literature. But things that struck me as an adult, Mitchell just writes some beautiful poetic passages.
Yeah.
Her dialogue flows really well, with the exception of when she is in dialect.
That's a stumble. Yeah, that's hard to, it's hard to hear, it's hard to say, it's hard to read, yeah.
Right, but I was engaged the whole way through. It wasn't really a book that dragged, even as dense as it was. Something was always happening, and it was well expressed. I loved the ongoing debate about the old ways and the new ways, mm-hmm. you know, the pre-war, mm-hmm. the during war, the post-war.
Right.
It had a very autumnal tone mm-hmm. of, you know, change has come. And there is a loss of
something,
this lifestyle
yeah.
that mm-hmm. you speak. And obviously, you know, we, from a modern standpoint, maybe like, it's good that lifestyle is
yes,
gone.
Yes, exactly.
But from Scarlett's point of view, it is a loss, and from other characters even more so.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, because I thought, oh, that's Scarlett, I just remembered her as a whiny brat.
I know, when we first started discussing, you couldn't find, you didn't really have anything good to say about her.
But what she finally got to the burning of Atlanta, and that survivor instinct kicked in,
mm-hmm.
I really started to kind of respect the girl.
Yeah. And girl, it's so important that you said girl, because as I kept saying throughout all of our recordings and all of our discussions, we have to remember she is 15 years old when this book starts. You know, when the war comes, she's like 15 and a half, 16 years old. I mean, when she is surviving, she's still a teenager for the most part, or and after the war in her early 20s. I mean, this is a remarkably young person in a particular story. So go ahead. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and she's being asked by the situation to do things that she was never raised or taught to be able to do,
mm-hmm.
to have any inkling
right.
of how to survive.
Right.
So yes, I really respected that. And I also, I swear, one day, Alice, I'm going to write, you know, Scarlett O'Hara, CEO.
I know.
Analyze her as a businesswoman.
Yeah, that'd be, I can't wait for you to do that. She's very progressive for her time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I agree with you that the consideration of the sexual politics, we got a lot of mileage out of looking into that.
Definitely. And this book is, you know, like a lot of times, we almost all of our books over the years, we've had some sort of sexual politics, gender issues. I mean, there's always been that kind of systemic patriarchal system going on in the books, because we're picking classics, right, you know, that come out of those kinds of cultures. But this book in particular is a really interesting one, because it's like that cusp of change, and Scarlett kind of epitomizes that in a lot of ways, I feel like.
Right. And that's, again, something that made a lot of difference to read that as an adult versus being 12 going,
sure,
I don't get this.
Sure.
So, and Rhett, as much as he has issues, which we'll talk about,
yeah.
can be really entertaining to read. He's
yeah.
very insightful. He's like the only one who gets at the beginning that, hey, the South doesn't really stand a good chance. They don't have a lot of resources.
Right.
He's quite witty. And funny, and he's an enjoyable read
yeah.
a lot of the time.
He brings a lot of the, I don't know if you want to say the comedic moments, the lighthearted humor, into what otherwise can be very depressing, difficult moments, scenes. You know, I mean, he's joking kind of all the way through the book, and even when, you know, cities are burning and people are dying and war is ravaging and everything, he's making jokes. I mean, he gives you a breath of fresh air sometimes. Now, I'm not going to say his jokes are always appropriate or wonderful, but, you know,
no.
He's a very interestingly written character, and I love that.
And I mean, I think that's one of the ways he survives
yes.
is using that humor
yeah.
and that biting
yeah.
wit.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think definitely Gone with the Wind mythologizes the old South, that kind of lost cause mythology. And we really went back and forth on, does Mitchell believe in this,
mm-hmm.
or is she presenting somebody else's point of view of this lost cause?
Yeah.
And I have come to agree with you that I don't think that Mitchell herself was a lost causer,
mm-hmm.
but I think she did see it around
yeah.
her. Would you kind of agree
yes,
with
I think,
that?
Yes, I think one of the most important things we talked about is actually analyzing how much of the book mythologizes the Old South and Margaret Mitchell's own personal experiences and how that affected this book. I've said many times, it took her 10 years to write this book. She researched the historical battles and all the historical references in the book. She researched thoroughly. She was raised in a world in the South where the mythology was real. She didn't even know the South lost the war until she was 11 years old. You know, I mean, she was surrounded by people who talked about the Civil War. And this is in the, 1920s when she was a kid. That her whole life, up until when she wrote this book, she was surrounded by people who mythologized the Old South. And so she personally came from a perspective of believing all that to this change that you see happening in the book. As Scarlett, sometimes her feelings change, as Rhett, as different characters representing, I feel like, representing Margaret Mitchell's evolution of how she sees her childhood culture, if you will, change. And I think we both came to the realization that she does an amazing job in kind of, for lack of a better phrase, straddling that fence of saying, this is how it was. This is how people saw that mythological grandeur of what is basically a slave, a slave included society, the Old South. Bad, right? Very bad, very racist. And this newer perspective that she gained in her lifetime of seeing the things that were wrong and immoral and disgusting about that culture, and trying to bring these characters in her novel to a place of possibility for the future that wouldn't be that. And I think we both, I've always been very defensive about Gone with the Wind as a book because I it's so different than the movie, for example. People watch the movie and they think, oh, it just glorifies the Old South. The movie does glorify the Old South a lot more than the book does. The book is a much different entity. And I feel like our discussions helped us both express that and analyze that a lot.
Right, right, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, I think that evidence that Mitchell herself was not an old causer is that the characters that strongly believe in this mythology of the Old South tended to have bad ends.
They're the weak ones, right? Right, they're the weak ones, yeah.
Yeah, so, but I do think, especially this year in 2020, with all that we have unfortunately gone through as a country with racial relations, with the tragedy of George Floyd, I think We have lost causers alive today in our society.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And being able to even understand what is this supposed past that they're longing for, I think that this helps me understand the supposed past. I don't agree with it.
I don't either. Yeah, exactly.
I'm better able to understand what they think they're missing.
Yeah, and the strange thing about people today that are embracing the lost causes is that they weren't alive when it was happening. They don't really know what that was like. They just are, for lack of to say it what it really is, they're white supremacists who believe that anything other than white Christian, people are lesser. And that's just we do not embrace that. Our organization doesn't embrace it. You don't embrace it. I don't embrace it. And yet we had to deal with this book that helps us understand that kind of thinking. And again, those are problematic and uncomfortable moments in the book, but they are useful and they are relevant even still today. And I feel like that's kind of a good thing. That's one of the things we liked about the book, is that it was relevant. Sadly, it's still relevant. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Join us next time as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts. Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.